If you have your Bibles this morning, we'll be looking at Psalm 90. We'll be looking at Psalm 90. We may not do this every Sunday, but the last couple of Sundays we've read a lengthier passage. We're going to do it again. We're going to be looking at all of Psalm 90, and so I want to read it together. There was a story of a boy many years ago that walked into a candy store, and he had in his hand some change. And so he had this little bit of change. He walks into the candy store, and with the utmost seriousness, he stood there and he started eyeing the candy in the bins and in the aisles. And he sat there with deep thoughtfulness, and he went from bin to bin, from aisle to aisle, from different sets of candy. And finally, his mother, tired of waiting, called out and said, "Hurry up, son. You know, spend your money. We need to get going." And the son looked back at his mom and he said, "But Mama, I've got to spend it carefully. This is all the change I have." Now this morning, we're going to be looking at an idea. And the reason we start with the idea or the story is because time is kind of like that change. It's all we have. And time marches on. And in Psalm 90, let's read it together. I'll start just kind of we did the last few weeks responsively. So I read one, you read two. Follow my lead. As long as I remember last week, I forgot. But we'll try to go all the way down through verse 17. It's a wonderful psalm and a great one as we come up to a new year in Psalm 90. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Together, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, "Return ye, children of men." For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. If we are consumed by thine anger, by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And this is our last verse, verse 17. Notice the conclusion that the psalmist puts together. He says, "And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it." Vitellus was a Roman, famous Roman man. He lived about 60 A.D. And he had a lot of money. He lived in the province. The province of Rome was called Flamen, F-L-A-M-E-N. And he had a lot of money. And so he came to the priest one day, and he offered the priest of this province $250 million to add time to his life. The best they could do, though, was turn the clocks back, because they could not add 1 minute with all that money. to his life. As I said, time marches on. In this passage, we read, and if you notice right at the top of, sometimes in your Bibles, it mentions who wrote this. More than likely, this is the oldest psalm that was ever written in the Bible. This is a psalm of Moses. There's debate on when he wrote it. There are some that debate if he did write it. I believe he did write it. But this is a psalm or a prayer of Moses. Many believe that he wrote this after the refusal of the Israelites to go into the promised land. And so there was going to be a wandering in the wilderness. You see that here Moses is talking about this. And through the Bible, you see this mention. Jacob called the pilgrimage of his life. Remember Jacob in the book of Genesis. Jacob called the pilgrimage of his life. He lived 130 years. This is what he said. Few and evil. That's how he said, or wrapped up the pilgrimage of his life. Moses, for 80 years, lived a somewhat settled life. He lived 40 years in Egypt, and then he lived 40 years in the wilderness. And if you look up the passage in Numbers chapter 33, from the last 40 years, basically, of Moses' life, in Numbers chapter 33, it mentions 42 different places that Israel camped. So for 40 years he was in Egypt, 40 years he was in the wilderness, and the next 40 years, basically, every year he was up moving around somewhere. Or maybe every 6 months, or however it was. And so he pilgrimed for many, many a year, those last years of his life. But this passage says, Lord, notice this is what Moses says in verse 1. Lord, guess what? Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generation. And so I'm going to look at three concepts. This is basically divided into three sections. We're going to look at the three sections here this morning. And hopefully it'll help us as we come up to 2019 and say, all right, time is marching on. But Moses can teach us as we look at this passage how to deal with some time. And what should we do because time is marching on? May God help us as we look at his scriptures. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us this morning. And help us to understand the faithfulness of our God, the frailty of man. And Lord, then the application to our lives so that we can use our time wisely. We thank you, Lord, for scripture and how it can be used to better us and make us a better people. Lord, just as the testimony was given, we thank you for so many that through the scripture, they have come to understand that they were sinners. Lord, that we needed a savior. But Lord, now as we look at the scripture and we consider this for an upcoming 2019 and a new year, I pray that you would help us to consider the time that flew past this past year. But Lord, as we look ahead to this next year, Lord, we'd be wise in the use of our time. As always, Lord, do that which I can't, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So here in this passage, in the first few verses, we see the faithfulness of God. We see that right away in the text. It says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Notice what it says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So we see the faithfulness of our God. And notice, right, the first word is Lord in our King James Bible. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place. That word dwelling place is used in other times in the book of Psalms. Another time that it is used, it is translated refuge. Remember, Jesus Christ is a shelter in the time of storm. He is a refuge. And so what is the psalmist saying? Here is Moses, and he's saying to you and I today that there's a lot of things that are unfaithful. There can be an unfaithfulness. Sometimes even in a home, there can be an unfaithfulness in marriage vows. There can be an unfaithfulness, in our case, even to our God. But the Bible, here is Moses telling us, you can always count on the faithfulness of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place. And right away, this is what Moses tries to get us to consider. You may have not been faithful in this past year, and it could be that you weren't faithful because you weren't resting on God. You're resting on your own works. And that could, we could touch right there on salvation. On your own works, in your own ways, you're saying, I'll make my way, I'll get to heaven. It's not possible. But what the Bible says is, you can be our dwelling place. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place. And notice what it says, in all generations. It's not just right now. Before us, the generations before us, countless people, thousands, millions of people have trusted in Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And he was found faithful in that. In all generations. It's not just something that we can say, well, I mean, has he really been faithful? Yes, he's been found faithful in all generations. And notice his proof in verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Man, the faithfulness of our God. Thou hast been our dwelling place. And how long? For all generations. This is a prayer of Moses. And he's telling us, man, you can trust in God. There's a faithfulness in God. But notice, secondly, there is a frailty in man. Look at what it says in verse 3. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, return ye children men. Now remember, who's writing this? It's Moses. If you're not familiar with it, but Moses wrote the first five books. It's pretty, there might be some people that debate that, but most have an understanding that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. So what did he write? Genesis. Guess what Moses wrote in Genesis chapter 3? Genesis 3, 19, it says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. That Hebrew word right there in Psalm 90 and verse 3. Thou turnest man to destruction. Guess what that word is? It's the same word from Genesis 3:19, the word dust. So here's, I think he's referring to this, because it is Moses. I think he's thinking about it, and he's thinking back when he penned the words that dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And here he's telling you and I that guess what? All that man is just dust. There's not much to us. Thou turnest man to destruction or to dust. That's the frailty of man. As I was, I had planned on this and was working on this for a couple of weeks and thinking about it and reading this passage over and over. And just over this past week, all right, we had another pastor get a hold of us, and or not a pastor, a graduate that got a hold of us, and they were in a church, and there was a pastor friend of theirs that has a son, and he passed away either Friday or Saturday. And then this morning we get the message from Pastor Caleb Mitchell, and his dad was traveling to the airport, and he falls over dead. And I thought about the frailty of man. You don't know what a day may bring forth. And this morning, you may be here, and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, well, maybe next year. And really, next year is pretty close. It's only 2 days away. You say, well, next year. But you really know that you have tomorrow? Can you guarantee it? How much can you guarantee me that you have the next breath? None of us can. Man is frail. And that's why, in comparison, what can I trust? The faithfulness of God. The frailty of man makes me say, man, there has to be something else that I can trust in, because man is frail. You see the frailty of man. Notice the phrases that it uses. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past. To God, how much is 1,000 years? When you're talking an eternal being, how long is 1,000 years when it's forever and ever? As I say, when there's so many things when I get to heaven, that for all of us things will become clear. There's so many ideas and different thoughts from Scripture. And as I come to Scripture, somebody that says, even somebody that studies the Bible all the time. I study the Bible all the time. And I'm sorry, it could be somebody on the internet and they say, you know what, I know all of this. You know what, right there I'm going to turn them off. You know why? Because I have studied the Bible very intently for over 30 years. And there's things that I'll read sometimes and I'm like, huh. Wow. And some of it is, as men are very arrogant and egotistical. We want to think we know everything. Oh, you know, I've got it all figured out. No, you don't. No, you don't. And God has a way of showing us that. God has a way of making us see that we are just frail. We are just human beings. We may think we have it all together, but God actually has it all together. And someday in heaven, I want to be able to sit down and say, all right, God, what about this? But I may not even have to do that, because I'll have a perfect mind. So I may understand it all right then. But I think it still will be great to sit and discuss a lot of things about when Christ was here on the earth. Be able to sit and talk about this, talk to God and say, all right, so why did you put this in the Bible? I think we'll enjoy that. And you'd say, well, how long? Well, maybe for 1,000 years, we'll discuss one verse. See, 1,000 years, well, what is that? What is that in eternity's aspect? It's nothing. Notice what it says, 1,000 years in thy sight, but it's yesterday. When it is past, and notice what it says, and as a watch in the night. You say, all right, what do they have, some watches sitting there and it's beeping? Well, this is a watch in the night. They would divide the night into three sections. And so there would be 3 4-hour watches. There would be 3 4-hour watches, and you'd say, so what is the watch in the night? It's just gone. Most of us know that. Then notice, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. So there's a couple ideas there. Remember, you're talking about Palestine. You're talking about the Middle East. And grass could come up because of the dew, because of the wetness. It would kind of stiffen up and it would look pretty good in the morning. And by the time the afternoon hit and the sun was beating upon it, guess what happened to that grass? Either withered or it needed to be, or somebody came by and was cutting it down. That fast. And that is what the Bible is telling us to consider with our lives. That God is faithful and man is frail. And because man is frail, then why are you leaning? Why are you building all of your life on that which is temporal? Why are you basing everything that you do on something that is temporal? Instead, build it on the faithfulness of God. That's what Moses is telling us to do. Moses, through the inspiration and the preservation of Scripture, here it's given to us in Psalm 90, and it says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place. Not man, because man is frail. Man will let you down. So then we come to the last section, and that's where, in verses 1 through 11, it talks about the faithfulness of God, and it talks about the frailty of man. And then, because of these two things, the frailty of man and the faithfulness of God, Then in verse 12, he gives some instruction to us. And I divide it into three sections here in verse 12 through 17. First one is verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. One man wrote it this way, stout and strong today, tomorrow turn to clay, this day in his bloom, the next in his tomb. Because of God's immensity, because of our ineptness and frailty, we can draw some conclusions, and the first one is to evaluate your time. Teach us to number our days. There was a story of two men. I thought it was interesting. Name was Fred and Tom. Fred and Tom both pulled up to a red light. And Fred was just really frustrated. You could see him there, and you probably could hear his music too, which also created some frustration. And so he's sitting there, and he's just irritated. He's pounding his steering wheel, shaking it every once in a while. And he's just getting frustrated because he's sitting at the light and he wants it to change. Tom was sitting right behind Fred. And Tom knew that you had red lights. That's something, I don't know if you've driven much, but red lights are in America. And so he knew that there was red lights. And so Tom had decided that when he would come up to a red light, he always had a stack of memory verses. And so he had a memory verse, and while the red light was there, he started reviewing the memory verse. So Fred is sitting there frustrated, grabbing his steering wheel, punching it, getting all mad because there he's sitting waiting for his light. And Tom is taking that time and said, well, I got to sit here and wait. I might as well memorize a memory verse, memorize some Bible. One person put time in a year together, and they estimate that most of us sit at a red light about 26 hours a year. And so Fred, for 26 hours a year, is guess what he's going to be doing? His blood pressure is going to go high. He's probably going to have to check himself into a hospital sometime because he's just, all right, probably get road rage, honk his horn, not just 26 times, but probably 2,600 times. All right, he's going to be all frustrated. And Tom, on the other wise, has decided that the 26 hours that he's sitting in a red light, he will use those 26 hours to memorize Scripture. So teach us to number our days. Why? So that it finishes the phrase, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. What is the Bible telling us? It's saying that there's a faithfulness of God, there's a frailty in man, and so what are the instructions? One, evaluate your time. You only have so much coming up. In 2019, all of us are given the same exact. We are all on the same plane. You may say, well, I'm not as smart as this person and I don't have as much money as this person. But there's one thing that all of us have the same of, and that is time. All of us have the same amount of time. And so evaluate it. Why am I evaluating? Why am I numbering my days? Why? So that I can apply my heart unto wisdom. I am not just taking my time so that I can become a billionaire. I am taking my time so that I can apply my heart unto wisdom. And this is not talking about a worldly wisdom. It's talking about a godly wisdom. And I ask you this coming year then, are you going to evaluate your time? Are you going to measure it and say, okay, God, I don't know how much time. I may be done. I may be dead halfway through this year. And it could be possible. So that means I only have 6 months left. So what should I do? Understand that man's frail, but God's faithful. So because of that, I'm going to evaluate my time and number my days. How am I going to number them? I'm going to apply my heart unto wisdom. Then notice, secondly, the second instruction that we have is down in verse 14. It says, oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. So the second thing that I'm doing is, first, I'm evaluating my time. Secondly, I'm begging or pleading God for mercy. You notice what he says. He says, oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. There's nothing wrong with begging and asking God and saying, God, can you supply me with mercy? Now, mercy is a little bit different. A lot of times in the Bible, you see mercy and truth brought together. So what is mercy? It's God's favor on me. It's God's favor on me. All right, and so there's nothing wrong with begging God and saying, God, can you supply me with your favor? There's nothing wrong with asking that. I think that's a wise prayer. Here Moses is saying to the children of Israel, he's saying, guess what, guys? You made some bad choices. All right, if it's true that maybe after they said we're not going into the promised land and now they're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, we know that Moses did not go into the promised land. And so he's looking and he's saying, God, you've been our dwelling place. God, I can trust in you. Why? Because you are faithful. Man is frail. And so because of that, I'm going to number my days. I'm going to evaluate my time. And then I'm going to beg for mercy. But then notice what else he does. The last thing is verse 17. And I think this is a great prayer to come into the new year. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Let the beauty of, there's two things to this prayer in this last verse in verse 17. The first part, I think, is the priority, not the second part. The second part is important, but I think for many of us, we just want the second part. What's the second part? Establish thou the work of my hands. Most of us are concerned more about our service than our heart's relationship with God. The measure of your life is your activity in this church, not in your relationship to God. But notice the priority that Moses places. He says, first of all, let the beauty of our God be upon us. Now, what is that idea of beauty? All right, that idea is God's kindness and tenderness, that it's upon us. It's an essence that inside us, the beauty of God can be seen, can be worked out, can be developed. And many of us, the measure of our success, the measure of our spirituality is our service, is our actions. Now, our actions should be pleasing to the Lord, but your actions should be an outgrowth of your inner man. And for some of us, maybe that's what we should concentrate on as we come into a new year. Lord, make my inner man be strengthened. Let the beauty of God be upon us. Let that build me up. Let there be strength in my inner man. Why? So that my work can be pleasing to the Lord. Some of us, we want our work to be pleasing to the Lord, but basically what we want is we want to do whatever we want. We're not pleasing God in our hearts. We basically are doing whatever we want in our own lives. We don't submit to anything as far as the Word of God or His authority. And the outgoing, the proof of that we're good people is like, well, I was witnessing this week. Well, I mean, I was at a nursing home this week. I was on the bus ministry this week. Or I was doing this or this. But the priority is letting the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. The first priority is that my heart is right with the Lord. The first priority is that I am clean and right. I think it's very similar to Psalm 51. In Psalm 51, he wanted a restored, right relationship with God first. And then after that, what will happen? He'll establish the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. I ask you this morning, not a lengthy message, not lengthy thoughts here this morning, but it's from Psalm 90, from Moses, probably the oldest psalm in the Bible. And what is he telling us? This old man that's probably towards the end of his life, and he's sat through a lot of things. He was in Egypt, and he made some choices, some good choices, and then in his flesh, he probably, I think he acted a little in his flesh, and God had to send him another 40 years out into the wilderness, and there, as a shepherd, he learned some things. And then he came back and he was able to help deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage. And he's there, and if the commentators and those that have studied it are right, then here in Psalm 90, they've refused to go into the promised land. Now they're going to wander in the wilderness. And Moses sits down and he pens these words. And what does he tell you and I? God is faithful. You can trust him. Man is frail. You don't know what tomorrow is going to hold for you. And because God is faithful and man is frail, he leaves us with three thoughts. And that is, evaluate your time, plead for God's mercy, and ask for God's favor. His favor, ask for God to come and develop your inner man. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. You know, apart from God, from Jesus Christ, I don't know of too many historical figures who at the end of their life, think of Jesus Christ, at the end of his life, his arms are spread, and he says a number of words, but one of them is, it is finished. I don't know too many historical figures that we read today that at the end of their life, they say, it is finished. It's all good. In fact, Alexander the Great conquered Persia, and he broke down and wept because he wanted to go into India, but his troops were too exhausted to move into India, and so he fell down and he wept. And shortly after, his life was over. John Quincy Adams was a pretty good president. He was the sixth president of the United States. And this is what John Quincy Adams wrote in his diary. My life has been spent in vain and idle aspirations and in ceaseless rejected prayers that something would be the result of my existence. That's John Quincy Adams. He rose to be the sixth president of our country. And what does he say? It's empty. Christ said it is finished. Robert Louis Stevenson, many have read his books and been delighted. Thousands, hundreds of thousands have been and are still probably in the future going to be delighted by the words that Robert Louis Stevenson wrote. But listen to what Robert Louis Stevenson wrote for his epitaph, his own epitaph. He said, here lies one who meant well, who tried a little and failed much. Now, Moses, I think he's heading to the end of his life. Maybe he wrote this before he headed up to the top of Mount Nebo. But here's Moses, and what does he say for us as we're considering stepping on this threshold of finishing out 2018 and stepping into 2019? What does he tell us? Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place. You know where you should head to? Where you should refuge is in an almighty God. That word Lord there is the word Adonai. Adonai is the name of the Lord that means ruler and governor. Later, Moses uses the word Elohim in there. It's an almighty God. And so what is he telling us? He's saying that this is the God that you can trust. If you're going to refuge, forget about man, because man is frail. You may have 70 years, and if perchance you have 80, it's still full of sorrow. But God, before the mountains were formed, he was there. You can trust in God. Refuge in God. And so evaluate your time. I know I take this time and look at it too. As I finish out 18 and I look at a 19, you know what I'm going to do this next week is start considering. So this past year, what are some things that I just wasted? I think all of us need to look at that and say, well, yeah. 18, there was this area, and maybe this month, this week, yeah, this day here. Yeah, there were some times that I wasn't numbering my days to apply my heart unto wisdom. So I evaluate it. And God, as I come into 19, I want your mercy and favor on my life. I want it on my family. I want it on our ministries and our church here. Isn't that a better use of our time than the frivolousness of this life? The silliness that is out there. I'm gonna waste all my time on my social media, waste all my time in all these different things that seem to grab and grab and grab. Or am I gonna number my days to apply my heart unto wisdom? Why? Because I need his mercy. And verse 17, I know I'm taking this and I'm going to be thinking about this every month in 2019. I want the beauty of the Lord our God to be upon us. And God, that he would establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. God bless us as we come into a new year. Why? Because time is marching on.